December 26, 2004. It's a Watt from Pedro show. I got special guests here.
Welcome.
One clap once again. Third one. Second
Hello.
One from Muddy Margashita.
Hello. What's up?
You got to get over there by the mic. Or it gets
Buenos
too hot.
Dias.
Hello.
On the mic.
Hello. I'm not doing the polar bear thing because my
microphone feeding.
And I look like one, but I'm not going in either.
So, you know the belugas.
The caviar?
No, the whales.
Yeah,
they look like Casper.
Yeah, give me.
They're white, big white whales. They have a permanent smile on their face, a little bubble.
This is a reference to me, I
they're
think.
They're fat. No, this is just coincidental. They're fat. Changes the salt water to fresh water, so they got to stay fat.
Wow.
That's a reason.
See?
Sound like those bears.
Any reason we can find.
There's a loophole.
Yeah.
So anyway, we start off with John Coltrane and Archie Shepp doing Gingerbread Man. And then Muddy Mark brought something, Gotta Be Funky by Monk Higgins.
That's cool.
That's right.
Pretty wild. You want to tell us something about that, Muddy Mark, on the mic there?
Yeah, back in the day, you know.
We got to get another sit down.
This was a favorite record to play. The Dust Brothers.
Yeah, bring this chair over.
Oh, I'm cool, man.
All right.
The Dust Brothers first played this for me, and then I had to go out and find it. But Monk Higgins, the record's called Heavyweight, and everybody and their mother looped that first, you know, the first 5 seconds of that song, Gotta Be Funky. It's really, really fat.
They appropriated it.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway.
It's okay, fair use. And then last week it did Pixies.
Mm.
The last night of the Pixies tour, we opened up, flew over there, and I played a rented bass. It was one of those Fender P 1957 reissues.
Right.
Anodized pick guard.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Probably very light, right? Compared to the...
No, it was like medium.
Was it? They played some of the issues.
Yeah, it's not light like the old ones.
Yeah.
This is something probably made in the 80s and the 90s.
Some of the reissues, like that 68 reissue Strat, has really light. That thing weighs like 6 pounds. Compared to this Les Paul here, I swear it must weigh 15 pounds. It's a slab body.
So you like to travel lights and then just pick up the tools when you're there?
Well, for one gig, Pete, I was talking to Muddy Mark about my organ player, Pete Mazich. He's a Hammond endorsee now, and he got one of these...
XB thing.
Right?
XB2.
So it can fly on it on the airplane.
That's right.
Because you can't bring... You've got a 65 B3, and it's about 240 pounds.
Yeah.
Steel legs.
They sound chopped. Great, though.
Yeah, I know, but you can't really bring it on the plane. So we bring this... One Hammond came out, it's a synthesizer, but it models
sounds the
off the
right.
B3. And it played pretty good. You can even get a lower manual for it, he's going to get.
That's right.
So he can get the whole dealio. We rented a Leslie, but it was all beat. You know, the whole mentality with rental stuff, you know, I don't own it, so I'm just going to knock the hell out of it, not thinking some cat's going to have to play it after you. This thing was changing speeds randomly.
Wow.
It was a nightmare. But it sounded pretty good, you know, for a synth. Mm. You've gotten good sounds out of, like that Korg.
Yeah, I used the Korg, and the Korg's great. But I chopped my B3, and then I have a chopped B3. Lonnie Jordan used to play it.
Wow.
It's got special, like, stuff on it. Like, you can put distortion on each drawbar separately. It's got a repeater on it.
Got a wah-wah built in?
It's got, like, like some kind of...
Auto-wah
thing.
Yeah, I've seen some of them with the auto-wahs built in.
Then I cut this Porta B. It's a small double manual organ. I cut it, and I made the tone wheels go into the... I put it in a box, separate box, and that's what I sit on. And then the keyboard part of it is, you know, it's lighter.
Yeah.
Not as heavy. But then there's this big, fat cable that connects it, because it's all those wires. And
right.
But whatever, I mean, I use this Korg thing when I play with the Beasties, because, you know, I just can't go out with a B3, like you say. Oh,
the
well.
Bogart's half the boat.
Oh, well, yeah, you know.
But so he rented that, but used this thing he got from Hammond. I rented a SVT. It was pretty beat up, too. Good thing for directs. And then Raul used Yeah, I've got a new drummer, Lenny Martin.
Yeah, right.
He's 20 years younger. He's from hardcore. And his brand of drums is much better than his.
Oh, cool.
It's like a Ravel or something. Wow, wow. You know, beat up.
You mean the Rebelli?
Toy kind of set. No, Ravel with a D.
Okay.
Like an old Econo model. And so he got the primo stuff. But, you know, you work the room. You don't get too precious about it. One life is many gigs. If you choke, you get back up for the next round. You know, and it was okay. We did okay. My guys did really good. It was scary. There was a lot of folks. Hammerstein's like the opera thing with balconies right in front of you. So they're really high right up front of you. Like a stadium show, but with things really close. So it was kind of intimidating. And they were kind of square jawed. A lot of young people didn't know about us, so we got to blow some minds.
Nice.
Cool. Didn't know where any of the endings of the songs or where they were going, and so we were stripping them out. So that was a good thing.
Cool.
And the Pixies were great. They played like champs. And they were very nice to us. So, then I did some Banyan gigs. The third Banyan album came out.
And I heard it the other day. I'm sorry.
Here?
Yeah.
Good talk, Tom.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I ended up writing half of it, not on purpose, but yeah. And
what's the personnel there for that one?
Now it's Nails, self, of course, Perk, because it's his band, and a trumpet player named Willie.
Nice.
So it's kind of stripped down. Then this painter.
Yeah, that dude.
Nort Wisdom. Oldest lifeguard in Malibu. He interprets.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a cool touch.
Yeah, touchable.
I think I've seen him at the coffee shop down there once.
Was that wow, yeah, he comes down. He'll play behind almost anybody. He just likes painting in front of people.
Wow.
A lot of that stuff, I mean, he's to take pictures now with the digi camera, but a lot of it's gone.
Yeah.
He wipes it.
Yeah, instant art.
Yeah, but disposable art.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's ever done a wedding.
Wow. That is a pretty unique concept, huh? Does anybody else do that? That you guys know?
Yeah, there's that.
What, interprets?
Paints behind music. I've never seen anybody else
Arizona. This kid in Arizona does
that. Yeah. I know in the 60s, the light show was a big part of bands, and bands would have their personal light shows, and they would do this stuff with overhead projectors and oil and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So that would be like kind of interpreting. I read, who gave me a book? Nels gave me a book on Pink Floyd, and in the 60s, that was a big part of their dealio. Almost like band members, these guys running the light show.
Right. Stay away from fire.
Yeah.
This Burning Man's got this disposable art. Not complete unless it burns.
Brother Mac's been to a lot of Burning
Man. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not complete unless it burns.
That's right.
Less to take home.
Yeah. Lighter load. So, Tone, you brought some music here.
Yes, I did.
Okay. A
couple little trinkets.
What'd you bring here that we're going to play next?
I brought the Rolling Stones, Some Girls. I don't know why. It's like the only CD I have.
You picked Far Away Eyes.
Because it's Sunday morning, and there's that little verse where he's singing about driving through Bakersfield early Sunday morning. And for some reason, I was thinking you guys are always driving around in your little minivan.
Boone spent early years living in Bakersfield.
Right, and it kind of...
his pop was waiting.
I kind of thought about that, too. I thought, well, you know, it just kind of... I try to relate some of this stuff to whatever. But,
I got the D. Boone spiel.
Yeah, I found some spiel of D. Boone.
Nice.
And I made an MP3 and floated it to Brother Matt. I think I floated it to you, too, to check it out.
That's off of a cassette or something?
It's from these different video things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy.
Nice. Thanks.
And him talking about how we started the band and the philosophy.
Early days, yeah.
And, it's kind of trippy. And you hear him in his voice. He's
so
full of life.
Yeah.
Trippy hearing him because he's killed a couple days ago.
Yeah, today's...
19 years now. No, it was Wednesday.
Wednesday, but I mean it's almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And a weird kind of thing, your birthday. Mike just had his birthday, and then...
Yeah, it was a couple days after that. And Joe Strummer died on the same day.
Hmm.
Like... 17 years later.
So. Yeah, it's weird how a lot of stuff. Yeah. My ex, her birthday's Christmas. One of my nieces just had, and when someone passes, someone's got their birthday. It's kind of, but when it hits home, it's weird with you because your birthday right after that, that's kind of a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried to bring that up as a negative way, but it just, you know.
Fake. It's like AD, you know, it's 2000 AD, so it just instantly turned into like after dance, you know, because life was totally different, it seemed like, after that.
Yeah, I was. Big time. I think for people that knew him, it changed.
And in 20 years, almost, just it doesn't seem like 20 years. I remember when he called me up 19. That night. I'm rounding off, but I remember, though, the night you called me up.
That's yeah, weird. His pop called me like 4 in the morning. It was horrible.
And so.
Did I ever tell you about the weird thing that happened to me that
yeah,
night?
Yeah, the Willoughby, right?
Yeah, the Willoughby.
Tell these guys.
Paul Rossler asked me to drop a friend off. I was in Hollywood, so I can't remember exactly where, but it was from the Roxy. And after that, I'm going back towards Pedro, and I'm coming down maybe La Brea. And there's that East-West right. Street, Willoughby. And you know that Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
right?
Willoughby.
Next stop, Willoughby. And you find out Willoughby's the name of the funeral home.
The parlor, yeah.
There's no town. Yeah. He just steps off the train. But in his head, he wanted to go to this town where everything was together, kind of from the old days. And I went across Willoughby, and I got the hugest chill. Frozen, man. Whoa. And then I went home, and I must have coughed only a couple hours before his pop told me. And that's, I thought of that for some reason. And will it be? Then I had a dream about him the next day. We're in like in this bank lobby, like orange rug on the floor, on the wall, and there's a big huge painting, and it's kind of Peter Max abstract, but it's all these takes on Abraham Lincoln with his stovepipe hat and all these bright colors and stuff, and I'm seeing D. Boone looking at this painting, and I'm really upset in a way, because he can't be there, he's killed, you know. And I have to tell him. So I come up to him and I tell him that. It's so intense. Then the next time, I could sense him big time was, you know, his pop would give me a guitar. And I kept it. And I didn't open it for a bunch of years. And finally I did at the practice pad. And he had his leather strap in there, and it still had his stench on it, you know, sweat stuff from playing gigs, because leather holds it. And so when I opened the case, I didn't realize that, you know, and the smell hit me in the face, and like for a second I could see him.
Wow.
Because I think smells.
Yeah, that's the strongest bad things facts.
Like memories.
That's
right. Yeah. Sense of smell.
And I wasn't ready for it, and it, you know, so I had to react right in the moment. And I saw him for a second. So those are the two big ones since. But then I think of them every day. Part of my peddling route is where we started the Minutemen, in this alley between 19th and 20th. There's an apartment he lived in, Joe Biza, and lived downstairs. He didn't really know us. He saw us at gigs and stuff. They said he'd hear all this stomach, because we didn't have amps when we wrote those first batch of songs. We didn't use amps. We just sat there on his bed and strummed them out. We didn't have a drummer. So we'd stop to keep time. So that's all he'd hear is all this stomping. Insane dancers.
Here's a dried out.
Now him, he invited his dad. I remember the first time. He must have not thrown away newspapers for a year, because the pad looked like a hamster cage. I mean, it was intense. It was like 3 feet high of wadded up newspaper. You know how the hamsters get their cage going? Whoa. And he's artistic, so he had a lot of his artwork and stuff. And that's how a lot of the early punk people were to us. They're kind of older than us, and artistic people. Some rock and rollers, but a lot of them were artistic people. Or from glam and glitter.
Mm.
That was strange. So some D. Boone memory.
There's a little dread out D. Boone strap hanging right behind the wall there.
Oh, yeah. This one was like full-on leather.
Yeah, I remember you gave me his tuner. I still have it.
Yeah, that's from the case.
From the case that he opened up, he gave me the little Boss tuner.
He gave me two guitars.
telly, a nice little telly.
Both are tellies.
We
one's
fixed
a
one.
Rosewood one, and one's that.
We took one in, right, and had it reworked.
One's a
change the pickup.
Custom. Had a humbucker. It's purple.
Then we do some.
I remember we were on tour, and I had already bought him a telly, you know, but it was one of these weird years for Fender where the strings didn't even go through the body. They're making an Econo.
70s.
I got it. Yeah, I got on the. Well, it was early 80s, 80 or 81.
Okay.
So he wanted a more real Fender one. So we're on tour and we're driving. He says, I want to get one in Nashville. We couldn't find one anywhere. We had to drive and drive. And we finally found one. It was that purple one. But that was a weird year for Fender, too, because the finish on the neck, the urethane, all bubbled up.
Right.
So you had to get another neck, the Charvel neck, because that guy cracked all up. It was impossible to play. And put EMG pickups, my bass too, because we would sweat so much in the gigs, all the high end would go out. So the EMGs were the first pickups all sealed in epoxy.
Right.
So we could survive that. It used to happen to flag guys too, we'd sweat so hard. I remember Robo taking a guitar, Greg Ginn's, played them plexiglass Dan Armstrong's, he took the pickup and just cast it in liquid epoxy right into the body with a cord going in, so his guitar had like his 20-foot cord. Because anything exposed to sweat would go on and shun out all the high end. It would be playing through a pillow. Okay, Tone, so we're going to play some Rolling Stones here. And then after that, we got a tune from this jam a couple years ago that me, George Hurley, and Joe Baeza did with a poet from Toledo named Dan McGuire. What from Peter show.
I was driving home early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the public radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. And I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Girl, I was kind of like you.
Nothing is my due. break the hot coals of oblivion into a crepitating heap. Revive the plagues and tyrannies of old. Cross oceans of unending tumult to kiss leprous feet. Feeding freely the marvelous meat of martyrdom. Tough the clay of thee, formulating formidable new sins. But shame and love, generosity, happiness, starvation, scorn, and most of all action, dead set on forsaking old betrayals, entranced by the flushed flame enveloping the frame in which this picture of ugliness is held. Perform spiritual alchemy, engage in pious blaspheme, a devout Satanist clandestinely practicing Catholicism, a sempiternal Sabbath broken, shameless pagans only playing at evil, indulged in self-idolatry, engorged on spoiled fruits, visited invalids, vulturously devouring their vertigo, took pot shots at hovering seraphs, staggering back to the well replete, I twist myself into a multitudinous shape, each more grotesque than the last, transmogrifying to forms familiar, till everything dear is lost anew.
From Pedro Show, whoops, moving the wrong slider up. Still getting it together. That was Jackie Mito with Mediator, but people probably know it as Monkey Man by the Specials. I don't have to tell you which version probably came first. What year does it say on the record there, Money Mark? You picked this one.
This record is, it's a reissue anyway. About to say, no year on.
But by the haircuts, it looks 70s.
Yeah, looks 70s. By the platforms he's wearing.
Huge frozer sporting.
Oh, he's got a crumb poster in the background.
Oh, wow, the stoned one.
And the eyeballs turn into eggs. So why'd you pick that one, Money Mark?
Oh, because I love Jack E2's organ playing.
Yeah, sweet smoking.
I learned a lot of shit from it. Learned a lot of stuff from that organ guy.
Yeah. A teacher. Funk is the teacher.
That was a nice bit that you guys, that trio thing that I just heard.
Oh, yeah. Before that, we played The Unknown Instructors, which was myself, Joe Biza, George Hurley, backing up a poet guy from Toledo who came to Pedro about a year and a half ago. And that's coming out in a couple months. That was a tune called An Evening in Hell. And we started off with the one Tone picked, Rolling Stones' Far Away Eyes. Let's see, I got a funny record here. It's a compilation of reggae versions of Bob Dylan songs. Huh. My sister gave me the autobiography just for Christmas yesterday. I read an excerpt on tour, and I was kind of like, ah. I mean, I don't know. Thurston liked to lie to me after, and so I'm going to read it. But anyway, it's funny. They took the cover of Bring It All Back Home, and they've got Bob with the leño in his hand.
No, he never did that, did he? No.
Supposedly, he puffed out with the Beatles.
Yeah,
right?
Got them, bringing them on.
Right?
Didn't you tell me he was into the other stuff quite a bit? Remember he's rambling in that movie? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Stimulant, for sure.
He's like going. He's
probably my favorite era of his songwriting is his methamphetamine phase.
Because he's just going off, man. I mean, I talk a lot, but you should have heard
he's
him.
He's talking about bringing it back home.
Yeah. But there's a movie out, and it's all
Don't Look Back.
With Joan Baez and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's on
tour
with
him. First acoustic tour of England.
Yeah. And he's rambling to this guy about, you know, how to.
He's a writer from Time Magazine.
Yeah, tell him the little spiel. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But I just.
He's an infant terrible. For sure. Whatever the French pronunciation of it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me play this tune here. It's.
Don't forget, Neil did the radio.
You'll know what it is when you hear it. Well, from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
from Pedro show. That was the West Coast Punk Rock Orchestra, thing put together by a buddy of mine from Chula Vista called named Jovi Butts. And Nels Klein on the guitar. I played a little bass solo. Played bass and keys and spiel. A guy named Matt was on the drums. Before that, we had the Bob Dylan thing. Well, actually, it was J.C. Lodge doing a Bob Dylan song, Don't Think Twice. For some reason, I thought it was going to sound like that. I wish it would have been a little more wild. A little more dubby. But that's what happens when you try things out over the air on the Watt from Pedro show. We're coming up on the end of the first hour. December 26, 2004 edition.
No, but I kind of thought in a weird kind of way, computers, everybody's, it's at the point in this world where they kind of run everything. And at one point, you know, now maybe they will be intelligent and they'll be telling you what to do and they'll be your boss one day.
So you think one day a synth might be playing Keith Emerson?
Possibly. The way is, you know, they'll
you know about his motorcycle, right?
Yeah, he stole his nice Harley. And does he live in Santa Monica? No, right, where everybody's living now. Al Stewart, all these ex-dudes.
He had this brain salad surgery thing painted on the gas tank. So if you see anybody down at Walker Cafe,
yeah, it could be his.
Those round tone. No, it might be the perpetrator.
I think Mike and Joe Boone turned me on to these guys.
You're going to have to wrestle him down and go for some citizen arrest.
Weren't you the one that turned me on to ELP, right? I think it was you, right? If I had never heard of him, we talked about that last time. We went and saw Rock and Roll Your Eyes. And Joel fell asleep
Joel
in the butt.
Joel conked out, never made it.
And me and Mike, we smoked like a whole ounce of Colombian Gold,
yeah,
I think.
Right,
no. No, I'm not, but hey, it's what it was. Who cares? And we went and saw this movie. But anyway, that's when I first got turned on to these dudes. And so it was part of my, and I really liked these guys. I think Mike really liked them too. Whether he admits it or not. I think he was a big fan of Greg.
Well, that's why I put together this tribute band.
Yeah, that's
Emerson,
again.
Watt, and Pedro.
And I tell him, that's right.
Wow.
People don't know they're, it's ELP reincarnated.
EWP.
Yeah, that's a great name, too. It's just, but it was part of our past, and I thought, you know what, this song.
There's a movie out that's a tribute to the synth guy, Moog.
Right.
Buddy,
yeah.
Mark. Tell us
something
about that.
These filmmakers made it. Ryan Page is the producer, and like Hans Filstead is the director. He made a movie before called Frontier Life about like Baja, Tijuana, music scene, art scene.
Tape,
yeah. Well, those guys, but the whole thing, you know, what was going on in the scene. Then they made this documentary about Bob Moog, pioneer of the, you know, Moog synthesizer. And the producers or the guy making the film wanted me to be on it, so it was cool. I got to perform in it. And then Keith Emerson put onto the soundtrack, gave a song.
All right. We have it.
You have it?
No, I said, and there we have it. I thought, that's great. And Keith is still playing.
When I get a copy of it, I'll throw it to you.
Flow. Okay, that's the end of the first hour. December 26, 2004, Wapapedra show. Stay tight for hour two. We got some improv jam coming. December 26, 2004, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Okay, what are the two main religions in this country that really cook the most? Christianity, the law of Judea, right? Now, Christ and Moses, and although they did, his mother and sister, did get leprosy, saw the first, see Ben-Hur? I'm picking it. That's it, right? Don't pick it. Right. Stop picking, you're going to get leprosy. It itches because it's getting better, but don't pick it. I'm picking. You're picking it? You're going to pick it? You're going to pick. What are you picking? I'm picking. All right, you're going to keep picking it. And you know why they got leprosy, Ben-Hur's mother? Because they didn't put paper on the seat. Right? The old dopey old Bubba Meiser. Didn't put paper on the thing, they got leprosy. Yeah. Yeah. Got to be your religious leader who will get out there. This is this. Are you a Christian? Definitely a Christian? What's a Christian mean? Well, then I'm as much in his image as I can be. Okay, that's beautiful, because Christ was a delight. Oh, Moses, just beauty. You know. If you are like them, then that's it. Then I love you, because then I know you'll relate to everyone the way the Christ and Moses that I have read of. That Christ and Moses that would just... How would they relate to any school scene? Christ... But children, Nafkas, come on, that's relating, just pure love. Yeah. So Christ and Moses in heaven, I don't know where it is, I know it's not up there, because I believe that the earth revolves. And sometimes you can go to heaven at 12:07, and go to hell at 6:30. Yeah. Great name for a book, right? Hell is to the left. Yeah, maybe, right now, yeah. So, okay, now Christ and Moses... Look at the earth, and they say, well, obviously the book is bombing down there. Gideon's just shoving it in motel drawers, and that's all. Through usage, yeah, it's lost impact. Give us a stay out there, like, yeah, usage becomes trite then. Like, good night. It doesn't mean good night. You know, the guy said good night to me, isn't it? No, it's really a contraction. Can I? Thank you. Does thank you mean, oh, thank you? If anyone ever said thank you to you, really, oh, thank you. Toughest looking kid. Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, the Bible, usage. Yeah, do a rewrite on it, definitely. It's about time for that. Yeah. Certain things are complete superstition, have no validity at all in the Bible, man. Yeah, you're just the antithesis of everything that is correct intellectually. But some of the basic things, heavy, beautiful. So they'll make the earth. Let's see, Christ and Moses come down, Saturday, shul day. Synagogue day, right? Let's make all the shuls, right? Second Avenue shuls. Real shuls. Shuls that the gypsies took over. Because it was storefront synagogues. Now the gypsies are cooking there. So now... Yeah, we go to the West Coast. Christ and Moses will make reform shuls, reform rabbis. So reformed, they're ashamed they're Jewish. And they got a different sound. Is it typical reformed rabbi sound? Service, right? 12:01 Saturday night. When should be said that the children of Israel? Ha ha, Israel. Where is Israel? Is yonder Israel? Out quench on flaming yahrzeit candle, Israel. That is the Israel of Chabellion David and Ruth and Cheryl Ann and Joy. Oh, Rabbi, that was a beautiful speech. Thanks a lot, you like that with all off the top of my head. Oh, yeah. All right, now, Sunday. Christ and Moses fly to New York, transcontinental, $88 to Chicago, $30. All right. All right, now let's see what they would make. They'd probably make... They say, what's playing at St. Pat's? Oh, good double bills, Spellman and Sheen. That's okay. Oh, Mr. Stallman, oh, Mr. Sheen. Okay, now, Christ and Moses both possessed humility. Why? Wisdom. That's it. Anybody who is secure, there's never any hostility, because he's cool. Yeah. Anyone who is above you, even, they know what he said. So they just stand on the back of St. Patrick's. And they'd listen, look around. Cardinal Spellman would be relating love and giving and forgiveness to the people. And Christ would be confused. Because their route took them through Spanish Harlem. And they would wonder what 40 Puerto Ricans were doing living in one room. This guy had a ring on it, was worth $8,000. And he would wonder at the grandeur. See, weren't the Puerto Ricans living here? It's clean and nice. What does it all mean? And what? And they'd just be shucking back and forth and talking. And maybe Bishop Sheen would see them back there and run up to Spellman on the lectern. Psh, I want to talk to you for a minute. Or you go back to the blackboard and stop bugging me now. I want to talk to you. I've got a customer in the back. All right, put the choir on for 10 minutes. What is it? What is it? You'll never guess who's here. Who's here? You're not going to believe me. You're going to think I've been drinking. All right, who's here? Christ and Moses. Are you putting me on now? I'm telling you they're here. Are you sure it's them? Well, I've just seen them in pictures, but I'm pretty sure it's them. Moses is a ringer for Charlton Heston, and I'm sure. Where are they standing? In the back. Don't look now, you idiot. They can see us. I said, that's it. Christ and Moses, both of you. They're way in the back there. Did Christ bring the family? What's his mother's name? That's weird. I read the book today, too. I'm so nervous. Mary. Mary what? I don't know. Mary Hale? No. Hail Mary? Harry Mary? No, I don't know what that was. Oh, yeah. Hail Mary. Oh, Hail Mary full of grace Thompson. They're very thick with the DuPonts on a Montauk Point. They're back here, yes. All right. If this ever gets around now, it has. Oh, Christ, don't look in the front door. The lepers are coming. All right. Would you take the bell off, please? Thank you very much. Wait, mister, will you pick up your leg, madam, your nose, your dress? Thank you. They got Sophie Tucker with Moses posing. Take that Hebrew National banner down. Mr. Jess, will you get off the Madonna? That's not a stat. All right, give me a direct line to Rome, quickly. Rome. All right. Hello. John Fran in New York. Listen, a couple of kids dropped in, and, yeah, you know them. Well, I can't really talk right now. Excuse me. Hello, we're from Newsweek, and we want to know if they have State Department clearance, and is that really them? Yes, it is them. Sonny, get off my hand. Yes, that is them, dear, yes. I don't know if they're going to do any tricks today. I don't know. Yes, they can fly. No, Mary Martin isn't God's mother, and get the hell out of here now. Hello. You know them. One kid is, with a cross of bop. No, not Zorro. Damn, that's right. He brought a very attractive Jewish boy with him. Oh, he got to do something. Well, I know. I can't put him up at your place. No, I didn't paint or anything. Oh, I got a lot of kids staying over here. Look, what are we paying protection for? That's right. Just get him over here, that's all. Yeah. I don't want to hear about that. Look, all I know is that we're up to our ass in crutches and wheelchairs. Is that good enough for you? The place is ridiculous here. Yeah. They're in the back. Way in the back. Of course they're white. Yeah. Now. Yeah. This is New York. Puerto Rican stand in the back. That's it. I don't know. Which ones are they, Sheen? The ones that are glowing. Yeah.
Hello. Live from Pedro Show. Sorry about that. That was Lenny Bruce with Christ and Moses. Pretty good bit there. And we start off the second hour with Ramblin' by a band called Davaganda. Davaganda. Right, Money Mark?
Yep. Some Vox Continental organ.
A Vox?
I think so.
Continental.
And a Melodica.
Oh.
I think so.
Wow, and that trippy verb on the clave.
Yeah. The rhythm, the beatbox had a little crazy Fender.
That's old days. When was that record done?
That's probably done...
60s,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, 60s.
Yeah. So that was cutting edge of beatbox days. Now we're going to have some improv here. Brother Matt, of course, on the spin cycle, and he's got two fellow co-conspirators, Money Mark on the keyboard, and Mr. Tony Platton on the guitar. So without further ado, here we go. Thank you.
Thank you. 3, 4, 0. Thank you.
What from Pedro show? Brother Matt, thank you for the spin cycle.
Thank you. Thank you, you guys.
Money Mark on the keys. Tony Platton on lead guitar. Tone very choosy about his notes.
You played all of them, huh?
Many times. No, it's okay, Tone.
No, it's not.
And some good sounds out of the...
Yeah, very cool.
I was watching him, man. Burn up those frets.
Next time I come in, I'm
the
just gonna, I'm not going to bring anything. I'm just
going to let it out. Oh, Tone, don't be self-conscious.
I'm not. It's the opposite.
Just jam out.
Jam out, jam out.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. Five or six.
I know. Tone, you take the word jam and you change one letter. What do you have?
Anything.
Ham.
Okay. Two ham on bass. Right, he does it.
Tone, who showed you your first songs on guitar?
Besides the guy Chuck Sound, it was Deep Boom. We talked about this last time. What did we learn? First four songs were Locomotive Breath, Jethro Tull, Lucky Man, ELP, of course, Alice Cooper, I'm 18, and what was the fourth one you taught me?
Just Over on the Water?
Nah, everybody knew the intro, though, but a lot of people don't realize the intro on that song. There's an actual extra note added that a lot of guys don't play.
Oh, what's that?
Everybody does a little one note thing, but Richie Blackmore had this, like, a, I don't know. He put an extra note in there that a lot of people don't see when they play, they just play the one note. Anyway, I forget what the fourth song was, but it might have been From the Beginning.
Down on the Corner.
From the Beginning, also ELP. It's a little tribute song there. Of course, the ELP songs that kind of got famous with the Greg Lake. Like that, like Lucky
Why?
Man.
Why? Because he was prettier?
Certainly. He had an air of prettiness about him. Nah, who knows? He wrote the songs. Maybe
did
he got.
Did you like him in King Crimson, Tone?
Yes, I did. I liked him in King Crimson. He was very good. And Atomic Rooster had a Carl Palmer when he was like 15. And of course, Keith Emerson was playing with the Nice. And not many people, probably besides guys like us.
Wasn't the Nice his band?
Right, but how many people back then actually knew about it besides us and Pedro and stuff?
I read about a tour Pink Floyd did in the 60s and the Nice was on it.
Yeah. And, right, they just played last year. Keith Emerson brought them back like last year and did a little reunion thing with them.
Reunion.
Tales of Brave Keith Emerson.
There's a band from Tallahassee, Florida. It's called Believe in Toledo. What from Pedro show?
Thank you.
Yeah. Trying to do the little segue thing. So. That was Yerkes with Most Violent Rap Song, rap group. Oh, it sounded like Green Day, huh?
They had a good, cool guitar sound. So I like it.
Most Violent Pop Punk Band.
Good little catchy sound.
And before that, we had Believe in Toledo with Kabuki. Didn't the Descendants have a song called Kabuki Girl?
Remember when we used to go whiskey back?
Say, don't say sayonara, I want to see you tomorrow. One of the best rhymes in music business. Back it. Coming on the end here of the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show, December 26, 2004 edition. I'm going to talk with Money Mark about how music goes within these days. Next hour, play some tunes. Tome, we'll get to the Malmsteen. That's what that was. That was a Malmsteen tribute during the spin cycle, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
No. I was just trying to fit in the play. Because, you know, I was just trying to fit in. Because when you're jamming, I guess you just got to wail and stuff.
You just got to go for it.
Because you don't really know what's coming up. And so I try not to bitch and whine and just play something. But I have structured stuff for anybody listening. It's not just all playing out. When you sit down and work out leads and stuff, that's cool, too. Like when I did all the Henry's, all those solos were, I sat down and worked them out and stuff. Didn't just, but off the cuff, what do you get to? Remember bands we used to see back in the day, like F-Word? Remember F-Word?
Yeah.
Many times we see those guys when there was no, and Alley Cast, when there was 10 people in the clubs. We used to go to these punk rock gigs, and there'd be like nobody there but us. And they'd be throwing bottles at the dude on the stage and shit and spit. It was funny. And the Dickies and the band from Car, the Zippers, and all these bands. That music kind of reminded me like the Zippers, kind of. Remember that Speed Up 2 Guitar Attack, am I right?
You're right, Tully. All right,
thank you. And I've had no coffee this morning with that.
No cough.
And I still did the Yngwie tribute.
You still tripped on the Yngwie? You got some, though, right? We're going to hear some next hour.
I did bring one Yngwie record, yeah, probably the. In fact, it got in a.
Just one?
Yeah.
Do you need bring more? The box then?
You all laugh, but you all listen to him, you know. He's a look.
Have
he's
you
a,
heard
he's
recording
the recording
of him on the airplane?
Look, he's ever here.
When the stewardess dropped a Coke on or
drops,
some lady.
He drinks big beer. Like on stage, he's down. Well,
somebody tape recorded him getting a Coke spilled on him because he was talking racist or something.
Yeah, he gets
this
all
lady was insulted.
Wow.
And he starts hollering. He goes, "Bitch, you've unleashed the fury."
Wow.
It's too much. It's bizarre.
He was all leather clad on stage, like 40 pounds belly and overweight, and he had the open top with the hairy chest and the all leather pants and the cape. And it was
totally boring. Like to get into it, but we're going to get in the second hour. Hold tight for hour three. December 26, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Pedro Show. That was
Alejandro
Escovedo with Break This Time for a tribute record called Por Vida. It's for life because he's sick with Hep C, so this is a benefit thing. And we start off with Shuggy Otis.
Shuggy.
And
out of my head.
So, Money Mark, you want to tell us about what you're doing these days?
Oh, I'm just trying to. Oh, with the music. Still figuring it out, you know? Still looking at my piano every day.
But you're going to go to Japan?
I'm going to go to Japan with the Beastie Boys. And
you're going to do Money Mark gigs?
Do some Le Tigre gigs.
Yeah. Open up for her?
Yeah, open up for them, and then.
She's been opening for Beasties.
She
lost it.
Oh, well, the band will start opening up for them in Japan. And then go to Australia.
Wow.
Do that.
What kind of piano do you have? I mean, electric or real one?
There's a few different ones.
All right.
The ones I use for them is, well, I've used the Wurlitzer on the records with the Rhodes.
Right.
But I use the Rhodes.
Those are cool.
I use the Rhodes and a D6 clavinet. And, you know, a monophonic synthesizer and then some kind of organ sound.
Do you have a real...
I don't have a real Hammond. Use this Korg thing.
CX3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a good sound.
It's pretty good, you know. It works for me for the touring thing, you know. When I'm at home, I have the real deal, so.
You got a whole bunch.
Huh? I don't have to move them.
How many keyboards you got all together?
I got too many.
It's like me with the guitars, huh? I got too many.
How many guitars you got, Tom?
Guitars and mandolins, about 24.
Wow.
How many gigs have you done?
None.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom's just, he's a bedroom warrior.
Wow. This is a gig.
It's cool for him to come play on this radio show because it's really the first time he's played.
Well, the third time that would be.
That's
third time.
Good.
Today. I think I'll get out there. Mike wants to.
Yeah, you should get out there, man.
And Joe Boom wants to play.
Maybe you might find a, you know, a percussionist or a drummer or something.
Joe Boom.
Okay, there
Boom's
you go.
Little brother.
You know, they want to do a little.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's been talking about it. He wants to get back
That's
into
good.
Music. Yeah, I've played with him since we were teenagers.
So maybe this will be it. Maybe I'll finally get out there and do some gigs.
How old is he?
Really well, you're 40. No, he's younger than us. He's 43, so I thought he was 40.
Wow. Cool.
That's okay.
Younger.
Yeah, right?
You hear him younger and then you hear the number 43.
Well, technically it is a
word. Yeah, it is. You're right, Tom. You got recording plans, buddy, Mark?
I'm always doing something, recording, but I'm trying to... I have a little EP out right now. You know what? I didn't actually bring a copy with me, but I'll drop one by. I know.
I'd love to play it on the show.
Yeah. I think I have my little MP3 player with it in there, but...
Oh.
Then I'm going to work on this full length to come out next year sometime.
Yeah.
Summer or something.
Is it you on everything, or do you have
no.
a little unit now?
It's... No, I don't have a unit. I actually still do shit myself. So.
Like these shows with Kathleen.
Yeah, I'm going to do some solo performance. Something. Make up something.
Grab the guitar?
I'll do that. But there will be a little drum.
Last time I saw you.
There'll be a little drum kit next to me, too.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Starts gig with the drums. He goes, this is what I do when I wake up.
Yeah.
Just start playing? Too.
Start playing, and I hum through this. I hum through, like, a low fuzz. It makes a low fuzz.
Cool.
Grand funk.
I do some, bass lines with the kazoo, deep funk kazoo.
Kazoos are cool, man. They're like the coolest sound. I like those.
Kazoos
you hum, though, the trick is, right, you got to hum in them. You can't blow it.
Yeah.
What was the other thing
you were
talking about? It was the
last thing humdinger. It was a humming
tone. Those juice harps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did
you put your mouth and hit the little twang bar?
It's found, I think. I threw it in that box.
No, that new song. Join
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
The band.
Squeeze box. Now, squeeze box was the little hand
accordion,
right?
Right.
Phone, right?
Yep.
Bend the knee on.
Reeds.
Bendable.
Bend the knee on.
I have that sound in here. It's That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like that is really good in this little machine here.
Wow.
See?
It's convincing. It's
still
the cup.
Popular.
What's that?
Chad at the Hammond factory told us those are what put Hammond out.
Yeah.
These Econo keyboards.
That's
true.
He told
me it wasn't really the musicians or the churches. The churches were loyal.
Right, that's right.
The backbone of their market was the home market.
Right.
People having them in their living room.
Wow.
When they came out with these Econo ones...
Like the Econo Stradivari.
Later.
Big Chinguando.
And they do a lot of stuff for the money they call. You can get a lot of great sounds. I mean.
You know, whatever. I guess.
I
guess, you know, that's it. It's how it's the source. It's how the source of the sound is created, you know. And you,
that's right.
You can feel it, you know.
No, I mean, like what you were saying, they're Econo for people. So kids, you know, anybody can buy a decent
little
keyboard and take it home with it and create something. You can't haul a big giant church organ home in your bedroom and play.
Well, you can have it installed there.
Okay, with the pipes coming out of your room.
Yeah, right.
Have a bellow boy pumping.
Yeah,
that's what I heard, like, in the bog days. They'd have to have
the
cats pumping them.
Start pumping, boy.
They really got the boiler thing going.
Just bring, like, an electric compressor with you, right?
Well, there was an organ, a portive? Or something where there was, like, one hand. You play it with one hand, the other hand would be pumping. Bellows Ian, Ethan James, right?
Yeah,
he was hand-building these things. He found medieval working plans for them.
Wow.
Built these, they were called virginals and portives, and they had a little bellow, and you move with one hand. He also built his own hurdy-gurdies.
Yeah, nice.
They were a trip. They got a keyboard.
That's right.
But it actually actuates
it's like fretting strings.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's got a grinder wheel, all rosined up wood wheel with a handle on it, and the strings come running across that, and then they get all choked off by the keys. So you get your different pitches. It's got a gnarly sound. It's sort of like a bagpipe.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, the droning idea, right? The droning.
India.
Yeah.
Right? Sitar.
Yeah. You got same more deal.
Yeah, more strings that you don't play. They're called sympathetic because they vibrate to what you're doing.
Mm.
They're all up in that neck. That's why you see all those keys on a sitar. They have all these sympathetic.
The strings sit so high off the fretboard. How do they?
Because the frets are wire.
No, but how do
so,
they
so you get bendy action.
I've never tried that. I played every string.
They're into microtones.
Right.
And if you're just stuck with your frets, you can't get all. That's when you're chucking and stuff.
Yeah.
See that? Well, that's how they do it even easier because you can just press down on the wire fret and you get all these in between tones.
That guy.
Their keys, you know, you listen to their songs. They got every key's got all every note.
They're like ragas and stuff like that.
Well, they have one lady who plays a thing that's tuned open, so she's just droning it, but it's got almost every note. So it's hard to. You'd love it, Tone. You can never play out of.
Thanks.
Throw out some feedback.
Yeah. You know who his daughter is, Ravi Shankar? This lady, Nora Jones.
That's right.
Yeah, she wouldn't use his name.
Wow.
She does like this smooth, calm jazz, whatever. Singer-songwriter, Chattanooze. Yeah, she comes from
the Jones girl.
Raga rock.
There's Irish ragas too in their music, right? I've heard in the Celtic ragas, I guess.
Raga is like a mode.
Right.
I think there's 10 of them.
They
learn. They
start jamming some of those.
Their whole thing is about improvising.
It's jamming.
It's funny. The guy with the set thing is kind of the drummer.
Right.
Because if you go to one of his gigs, he'll explain every song before he starts.
I saw a dude do that on
it. Going to 15 and then
play it like this.
And the drum thing is so complicated because we use short loops for our percussion patterns. Their loops are really long before they repeat. And they have some system of open and closed hand to remember. Like, even the biggest master knows only like 5.
Wow.
Most people learn their theirs.
That's
they learn
it.
One, their personal one.
They jam it all the time.
They're using pitch too. When they're stretching their finger across the head of the timbala, tabla.
Right.
And you'll hear the bass notes come in from nowhere, but it's because we're used to little small reiterations to get our grooves. Their grooves are really long before they repeat, so it's hard to remember when these things are going to come back in, so it sounds totally random.
Remember
it's to open things up so the guy on sitar, or violinist too, can improvise. Yeah, their whole thing's about that. Maybe it comes from an old Motha tradition. You know? The word bong
is a drink.
Spelled B-H-A-N-G. Yeah, it's a soup that the priests, some priests would drink to keep constantly stoned because they thought that was holier state than like that Motha Indica, the strain, Sativa.
It smells good.
That's developed by them cats over thousands of years. We're the first to cultivate one.
Remember the album Shakti?
Yeah.
Throw that up, just John McLaughlin. And
we played some when you were a guest.
The Kusin, he's got the drone string guitar Gibson built for him. Beautiful, one of a kind with 12 drones. And if anybody's out there want to hear a John McLaughlin wail on his, probably his most intense acoustical stuff I've ever heard. I would say that's
Miola?
No, that's live, Saturday, San Francisco live. Where
well, there's a trio, right?
No, this is him and a dude on, I don't think that's
right. Chila Gertu on drums.
Yeah, and violin.
What's
dude,
the guitar trio that he has?
Oh, that's Al Di Meola, Paco de Lucia.
Yeah.
Him, and that's also.
What's that called?
An Evening in San Francisco Live or whatever.
Okay. That's not Shakti.
No, but the Shakti is, he plays his drone Gibson, but I mean, he plays those ragas in this really intense. And he did an album with, believe it or not, with Carlos Santana.
Oh, I know. What, the Love, Devotion, and Surrender.
Way back.
Yeah.
Way back.
But the acoustic
I think
one,
they had the same guy they were following.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Anyway, but those are two really good. Anybody that's in acoustic albums, or you want to quit playing early.
You had a one-trick band, too?
I think you're right.
Right?
You turned me on to John McLaughlin. I remember. I never even heard of him. He played me.
Remember
I
know we saw him?
No, you did. I miss him. You turned me on to Intermounting Flame, and I was like...
I saw the Birds of Fire tour.
Yeah, I had that.
It wasn't... You didn't come with me, huh? Pure Food and Drug Act opened up.
And you know what's interesting? All these speed metal dudes don't realize that McLaughlin was doing... I mean, you don't want to call it speed metal, but he was playing that fast way back then. I mean, before any of these dudes came out, I think he kind of was
Paganini.
The father of that stuff.
Is it Paganini the guy he's doing?
No, that's who Yngwie took a lot of his stuff from. He,
all
and
these guitars.
But violin goes into, guitar parts.
Yeah, Paganini was like a violinist from 100 years ago, but he was really flashy.
He was the big flash dude. Yeah. He was the Yngwie of the violin.
Because in most bands, guitar belonged to the percussion. The rhythm section was a percussive instrument.
That's why Stromberg built these big jazz body guitars for those orchestras so they could play along with you.
Because
they weren't lead instruments.
And the piano, too, was in the rhythm section, percussion instrument.
Mm-hmm.
The banjo was kind of like a lead instrument. They would shuffle, but he could be loud and be heard. But
well, the horns.
Nobody ever heard someone's best finger pick.
Those were a big part of solos and stuff like that. You're also talking about a time when you didn't have a lot of amplification.
Again, the banjo.
You couldn't play lead guitar and fill a room. There's no amps.
D'Angelico and Stromberg.
But if you had a bunch of guys on horn, and a big problem too, I was told by some older gentlemen, is just the dancing, the stomping of the people's feet was so loud. You needed a lot of cats in the band to get over. They didn't really have PAs. And when they first got PAs, they were mainly for the singer.
Bullhorn.
Megaphone?
Yeah.
Probably.
Put your guitar.
So the guitar, you know, he's just comping away. He's was hardly any volume. The roles really changed.
Well, jangle.
Even the fuzz tone on the guitar, it sounds so much like a sax. Strange. So you got the saxophone, you got the violin, all these things that come from the lead up to present day lead guitar, much more than Segovia. That's right. What guitar was known as, right? Which was kind of doing piano.
But in a weird kind of way, people forget the flamenco dudes were kind of like fast
lead
guitar.
Well, he's Spanish and stuff, but he was totally more from a classical tradition. Yeah, flamenco is very...
intensely fast.
Well, they're playing drums on the front of the guitar.
But they do the riffs.
Yeah, but this rhythm thing where they're knocking and rapping.
But I mean,
it's
even
not
back
all plucking.
No, but even back
you
then...
Boom, you know,
I remember
that? You even had one of them. Flamenco guitar doesn't have regular tuners. It has, like, violin ones. And
friction pigs.
The whole thing is about rhythm. And they have more protection on the...
They have tap plates on the front.
Yeah, because the guys are like beating on them. Like
they're
crazy.
Usually made of Italian cypress on the back and sides with spruce tops. Well, I just traded one that I had, but it had regular tuners.
There was a band when we were teenagers that tried to bring it into rock and roll.
We saw
Carmen.
Them. Carmen, they opened up for Jeff.
Get this, they had a lady dancer and with taps, you know, because part of flamenco is the dancer.
Yeah.
And it's not just watching her, it's she's doing rhythm. She's the drummer.
Yeah.
They're tapping. So what they had for her was a board that was a microphone amplified. So it'd be part of the sound. Wow.
That's
I don't know what happened then.
And they had a guy,
been Spanish.
The guy who played, I remember he played a black Les Paul. He was like the flamingo, but he was capable.
Really
and he would do these like flamingo riffs on Les Paul, and she'd be up there tap. I saw them once open up for Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Yeah. What happened? I think they had a kind of semi-hit song of some one little one-hit wonder or something. They got something to play, I think. Can't remember. Some instrumental.
I remember there wasn't a lot of bands like them. They wore them dingleberry hats.
Yeah, all black outfits.
It was pretty...
The castanets. Right? The little thumb. Those
yeah.
Little castanets.
That's part of it, too. Right? That's more syncopation. It's heavy like that.
Yeah, you're right. It is heavily dance-influenced, too. That's like,
in Turkey, when I was in Istanbul this summer, I saw a lot of ouds. And the guitar comes from the oud. Huh? It comes from Spain. The Moors came in, right, from Arab.
Well, I'm there. I guess that's where
oud.
You got your lutes,
they come
too.
Into Spain, and the guitars cross with that, with the Italian mandolin.
And the lutes.
Yeah, and lutes, too, influenced by this. But the oud is much older.
Yeah. and the Bazookies, which I'm currently looking for. If anyone's got one out there cheap, wants to sell me one.
Right, Tone wants to play Bazookies. Tone's
like half Greek.
Pop is Greek.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, but no, they're great. They're beautiful sounding.
Right, your real name is Platonus.
Platonus, yeah. With the
I-O-U. Yeah, I know a guy who has a bunch.
Yeah,
he was. Had a big, like our big restaurant here,
yeah.
Dacus. Yeah. Always had a sizable Greek. Yeah. Petros, the realty.
Tanker Liquor was owned by Greeks.
Yeah, little Greek.
And Tom and Grams, he's still in a bunch of bars.
Yeah, his stores. Grandpa came over.
Yeah.
He ran cards, right?
He did taxis, but
the liquor.
And then he came
to,
oh, yeah.
About your pop sitting on the liquor. They'd go up to L.A. to get the bootleg.
Yeah, they bootlegged whiskey during the Prohibition. And
that's what they called this area, Pedro, in fact, was Whiskey Flats because the bootleg boats had come.
Coming right here. Yeah.
And he made a pretty good. He said there was never a problem making money. No, he was always pretty successful. Guy. Liquor stores and all that stuff, furniture stores.
I mean, Tanapa was one of his pads, right?
No, well, Tom, he was partnered with Tommy's bar down there. A bunch of, he had like four or five bars.
Yeah, but there was like a card place.
The Greek?
That place
on 12th Street, by Tom, it's got the red, white, blue circles on top. That was a Greek club. He was a big gambler, horses and pinochles in this game. He lost all his money in horses, but won a lot playing cards. But anyway, he was a funny guy. And he came over in 1912, right? And my grandma told me those stories. She was supposed to come over on the Titanic, had tickets, but she was sick and didn't come over. And so she came from a wealthy family and she didn't go. And he claimed to be on, this is what he told me, he said he was on that Greek freighter that they signaled, but the Greek freighters turned off their radios and didn't remember. That's supposedly the story. And he said it's the right year, whether it was true or not. Who knows? Anyway.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm rambling on there.
It's okay to ramble, Tom.
I know. He just gave me one of these.
Tony, you gave me a song to play.
Yeah.
All right?
Thank you.
Right, ELP.
Kind of goes.
You
want to
tell us?
No, it just
something about the song.
Yeah.
What
do you like about it?
That's the first ELP I got turned on to after I had.
It's like
heard
the fourth and fifth album.
Right, and I had heard some stuff earlier, but the first time we saw him, we waited to see this tour for years, and me and you and I think Joe Boone went and saw him and told you. And this album to me seemed like the ultimate progressive album at that time, for me anyway. And it got, you know, a couple songs on there, like Still You Turn Me On and Carnival 9, parts 1, 2, and 3. Part 3? I just thought this song about computers kind of taking over the world, and or just, you know.
See. You ever looked on the labels of these bands like PFM and Crimson, Genesis, ELP? They were on this label called Manicore.
Right, Manicore. ELP bought it eventually.
Which is an old mythic animal, right? It's
right.
The tail of a scorpion, a head of
right,
a lion.
Exactly.
Well, if you look at those labels, you'll see this guy, Sinfield.
Yeah, Pete Sinfield.
He wrote words for all those
bands. Yeah, he did.
I think he wrote the words of this.
And you told me you learned. No, another thing about this song is Mike. I asked him years ago if he could learn this. You know, the first part on bass. And you told me you figured it out. You said it was, and even though it was played, I think with a pick. You said it was very hard at the time to figure out. And I always thought the bass was pretty trippy enough. Yeah.
He wrote the words of this next song, Pete Sinfield.
And the words are pretty trippy if you, you know. You listen to him. This computer, you know.
Find him attractive.
Certainly. Those haircuts are stunning.
It's like high school pictures.
Now look, how old were we when this came out? This was, what, we were 16, 17. So this is pretty old stuff.
Okay.
So what? That's, anyway.
What from Pedro Show.
With even blazing torch, thrust into to the face of the night. Draw the blade of compassion, kiss my countless kings, whose jeweled trumpet words by his side.
to be together with you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That's some Captain Beefheart. From this boot I got, Studio Sessions 1970-1972. That's second take of Japan as a Dish Pan. Before that, we heard EVA by Gene Jacques Perry. Great story about that, Money Mark, right? You chose that record.
Oh, yeah, Jean-Jacques Perry. Supposedly, he wrote the theme song for the Electrical Parade at Disneyland.
And he got shorted.
I don't know. I think he got shorted. And I don't think they do that parade anymore, but they did it for many, many years. I don't know. 25 years?
Yep.
Every night? Yeah.
That was weak. Uncle Walt was a pecker. Hey, Ryan, James Elroy writes good about him in those books, the quartet, L.A. quartet books. before that, we had some live Minuteman from the summer 1984 at Flynn's in Miami Beach, on the beach, right at the water. Sweaty gigs. That was Please Don't Be Gentle With Me and Retreat. A couple songs off Double Nicholas. After that, we decided it's not good to do summer tours. Especially in Florida. It was like 100 degrees at 2 in the morning. No air. You could literally cut a cube of air out with a butter knife. Out of it. You know, just standing in front of you, sitting in front of you, hovering. So sweaty. And then we started, but before that was Planned Tangent by Backdoor, which is a great trio from England in the 70s, just sax, bass, and drums. I was telling Money Mark about an SST band called Bazooka. That was that lineup.
Nice.
No singing, just instrumental. And the drummer, Vince Maroney, ended up playing in the crew of Science Flying Saucers and Pair of Pliers with me on a couple tours. And we started off the third hour with Tone Pick, right? Carnival 9, Third Impression.
Nice.
From Brain Salad Surgery. Remember there was a single?
Yes.
Like, there's no song like that called on the album. But they did have a single.
I have it on a bootleg. It's compiled. You're talking about the song Brain Salad Surgery?
Yeah.
It's on a bootleg, yeah.
They had a song called it, but they wouldn't put it on the album. Mm.
Calo Crash, Vitalize, or some weird.
A brain solid surgery. Murders you, it murders me.
We used to go to swap meets, and you could buy bootlegs at swap meets, and they'd have these like paste on covers of the band and the song titles on them, and you could buy bootlegs way back when. Anyway, that was where I got that. I think
the. I have the Dylan one, Ten of Swords.
I have a Neil Young one.
Ten
early one
bootlegs
like
of those, like the Albert Hall show and all. Harvey Kubernick gave it to me years ago. Money Mark, you picked this next song we're going to play here, something from Norman Little. You wanted to qualify it?
Well, this is just, you know, this is New York. This is in the Bronx in 1981. So, it's a song about, it's called Racial Discrimination. And Norman is trying his best to get to sing this tune, and you know, I guess you feel his message somehow.
Alright.
Here's your children crying for Babylon. Here's your children crying for Babylon. Racial. Discrimination, yeah, causing tension down in a Babylon. Whoa, 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 whoa. A man got to eat sometime. He got to find him a job sometime. Racial tension, causing discrimination. Babylon. Here's your children crying, Babylon. Here's your children crying, Babylon. Frustration. frustration. Yeah. Separation. Racial discrimination. Poverty, anxiety. Get your children crying, Babylon. Babylon. It needs just another chance, to make him a man, fit and strong. Yes, your children crying, Babylon. His mother gave birth to him, just like you do. Suffocation, frustration, and anxiety. Babylon, look down. Let him see what you want to say. Is your children crying, Babylon? No, you can't take no more. Oppression, suffocation. No. Frustration, police brutality, separation, criminals, injustice, and Babylon.
Watt from Pedro show. Wow, that some set of pipes on Mr. Norman there.
I think he has a vocal school, too.
Yeah, in fact, I think it's in the same building as the William Shatner School of Acting. Fuck.
But I was saying, if it wasn't a protest song, I wouldn't have even listened to it. I got to give props to it.
You got digestion, indigestion. Well, thank you very much for coming aboard, Money Mark.
Yeah, good to see you.
Tony Platt.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Love to have you guys on again. Brother Matt, of course, your essential assist every time. And maybe back next week. Maybe we'll have a show before the year's over.
Yeah, maybe. I'll be here.
I know Saturday I'm going into the drink.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Got to polar bear it up.
Wow.
So, honey bear, sugar bear, whatever.
Pooh bear.
You
can
sleep in the bath at, overnight.
No, they redid the bath house.
Yeah.
I got to get a picture taken under that sign. Bring it on. Okay, everybody, keep your powder dry.